I'm going to go through what it was like, what I did, and what it's like now. And for everybody who's new, I wrote down Paul, Annie, Brian, Sherry, Jennifer, John, TD, Rachel, and Rory. Welcome to this meeting, and welcome to ACA. If you're brand new, it's a beautiful program. It was my first program, and there's so much love and so much support and so much healing that's available within these rooms. And so I just encourage everybody to, you know, just keep coming back because it's really amazing. My ACA story doesn't just stop with ACA. It kind of pivots around a little bit. I learned in the ACA book that recovery isn't linear. So I'm going to share my story and what works for me. And it may or may not work for anybody else. But that is what I'm going to do. And I wrote myself a little thing so I can remember because, you know, coming into ACA, I was in my story. I was taught to live in the story, talk about everybody who was in the story, shit talk about them, be really angry about it, mull it over, ruminate, hate everything, feel like the victim, feel like just, you know, that's just how I came in, really focused on everything else outside of myself and how it all affects me. So when I never prepared in my life for, and well, I've never spoken other than in 12-step programs, but I've never prepared for a speaking engagement, but I just came out, my higher power just had me write some shit down. So I started writing. I cuss, that's kind of part of just my personality. So not trying to be offensive. But yeah, so I wrote it down and it was really funny because my higher power had me like write this and it's like what it was like that much, what I did, a bigger version, and then what it's like now, this entire page. Cause like, honestly, we all come from a similar, but yet different background. You know, I can go into all the details about what it was like, but the reality is we all have that story. We all have dysfunction to some degree. And, you know, when I first came into ACA, I remember, well, I'll first say how I got here because it's a miracle from God. I was not going to come into any 12-step program ever. My dad took me to AA all throughout my childhood, never stayed sober, ended up becoming homeless. And he was a pretty intense drug addict throughout my whole life. But he was actually, you know, somewhat stable through my childhood, but he became homeless in my 20s. So I didn't want to be in meetings with anybody, any of the people. And I didn't know anything else existed. First time I heard about another 12-step program was when my dad tried to commit suicide. That was about 7 or 8 years ago now. It was horrific. It was a drug-induced suicide, crazy, terrible thing that happened. And I remember leaving the hospital. It was a 50-50 whether he'd like live or die. And my dad's had a lot of those. My dad's a walking miracle. I've had many people tell me he should be dead. And he should. I mean, even the doctor told me, like, start preparing. And then he's always a miracle. So the funny thing about my dad, doesn't matter whether he's hopped up on drugs or sober as can be, he loves God. And he's been trying to get me to love God my entire life. And I was just like, ah. So, you know, I'm walking out of the hospital and they hand me papers for Al-Anon. And I remember taking them home, staring at them very briefly and throwing them in the trash. And then I was at work and I have a job where, you know, people, like I have clients. And so this lady came into my life like a whirlwind and came out of my life like a whirlwind. But in the whirlwind, well, actually I should preface this. I dated somebody who, was at the time I was still talking to my dad. This was after he tried to commit suicide and his mom would go to Naranon. And so I had stopped talking to my dad during that relationship. And, he said, you know, it really helped my mom when she went to these meetings to help with me. So maybe you'd want to go. And she was a super nice lady. So I went to Naranon and I sat there for like 6 weeks, and everybody was like a parent of a drug addict. And I was just like, not enabling, not my fucking problem. I don't know why I'm here. Like, don't know what to do. I'd avoid the greeter. She would be the one that gives hugs when you walk in. There's some meetings that have that. She finally came up to me after like my sixth meeting and said, so you keep on avoiding me. And I would really like to give you a hug and would really like to know if you'd like to sit down and talk. And so we sat down and she ended up giving me a newcomer's packet for ACA, a little book. And I read it and I related to it, and then I didn't go. And then I stopped going to Naranon. And then this lady shows up at my work and is like a ball of energy. And she's, I don't even know how I told her about it, but I ended up telling her, well, I got this pamphlet for ACA. And she's like, oh, I went back in the 80s. I'll totally go with you. And she goes with me to one meeting. I show up. I think a service commitment was available that night. I'm pretty sure it was either at the first or second meeting, but I took the literature commitment. She never went back to the meeting again, and I stayed. And I got a sponsor, the same lady that was the greeter that I avoided with the hugs. She was my sponsor. And we started the process of doing the steps. And so, you know, going back a little bit too, it's my dad's side was alcoholism. My dad's dad died of cirrhosis of the liver when he was 9. He found out that day. They went to his school and pulled him out of Catholic school and said, you know, you need to go say bye to your dad. And he had no idea. And that's the first night he started drinking. So he was hardcore at 9, getting drunk every day, getting high every day, doing heroin by 16. So kind of gives you a picture of where that was. But he also started in recovery at like 16, 17 too. He was in and out of the rooms for 40 something years. And if you asked him his story, he's been sober many of those years. If you asked me, I would have a different opinion. But what I learned in the rooms of 12 step is it doesn't fucking matter. It just doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether he's sober, doesn't matter whether he's drinking, doesn't mean that I am any more, any less of a person. It doesn't mean he loves me any less. He has a disease. And I learned about the fact that he had a disease specifically in Al-Anon. And that's a big part of my story. So my mom's side, my mom was a single mom. She took great care of me. She, you know, I had birthday parties. I had friends over. We had pool parties. It was great. I mean, I had a really nice childhood. But, you know, she was raised by immigrants that came from another country, and one of them was a Holocaust survivor. And so, you know, between my grandfather, who's the Holocaust survivor, and my grandmother, who honestly, I think, was just raised in anger and then has had seething anger for, you know, the rest of her life. I really had like dysfunction, and I had alcoholism. Cause you know, for me, like what I've learned is like the anger and the, just the stuff that comes from the generational stuff of having somebody be in 4 concentration camps and, you know, lose their whole family. And then being the wife of that and, you know, coming to America with like $7 and a 2-month-old, you know, I can't imagine what that's like. So yeah, that is that side of my family. And another thing that I was really taught, you know, my dad wasn't really a big part of my life. My dad didn't teach me much. He really didn't. My dad taught me, don't become an alcoholic. Don't end up sitting in 12-step meetings. He loves God. Maybe stay away from that because he seems overzealous and it's a little weird. And like he let me drive his car once when I was 12 in like a parking lot. And that was my first time like driving a car. But, you know, he really wasn't around a ton. So I didn't learn a ton from him, but I did feel a lot of abandonment throughout my childhood. And so I look at my little time watch thingy. So I so like I had said in the beginning, like things that I learned how to do were ruminate, be really angry and never speak to people again. I saw that a lot with my grandmother. She really, when I was like 7, she helped me write a letter to my dad because I was really mad at him. And it was ruthless. And he carried it around for like 20 years and would tell me that he still had, out of all the things I ever gave him, not a painting, doesn't have any of those things, but he has this fucked up letter that I sent him at like the age of 7 with my grandmother, who basically taught me like, you can shit talk at any age and you can start having resentments that you can't get rid of at any age. And it was just, you know, there was a lot of what I learned in Al-Anon about self-righteousness in there. So I started coming to ACA, and at that point I could only get to one meeting a week, and that was it. That was all I was willing to do. And it worked, you know. I had a really great sponsor. She took me through the steps. I did not have a co-sponsor. I did not want a co-sponsor. I still don't want a co-sponsor. I liked having my sponsor and that particular format for me. It just worked. When we did the steps, we met up. She read the chapters with me. We read them together. And I was notorious for wanting to like fall asleep. Like my true like tell, if you're in a conversation with me and I'm hitting some deep stuff, I'm yawning. And she would just crack up, and then we'd be cracking up because it's just funny, because it's just like, you know, it kept it lighthearted. And I would tell her when I did step 11, like, oh, what's happening? Like I go to meditate and I'm asleep. Like I'm out. Like I sleep was my best escape. It's not the only escape I've used, but it's the best escape. And yeah, I mean, it took me years to be able to meditate. And she was just so loving through it all. She was like, I guess, you know, that's just how your higher power is talking to you. And I'm just like, oh, okay, well, cool. I'm just going to keep on falling asleep every morning and taking a nap after I wake up. Guess that's what I do. Now I have some other tools around it. I will wake up and I will read, and that will help me wake up. I will wake up and I will put on my favorite song and dance around and then like sit down and do a meditation. Like I've just learned that, you know, instead of sitting there and beating myself up about not being able to meditate without falling asleep, I can try different things. So I worked those steps with my sponsor, and I went to ACA meetings once a week. And then I met a guy before the year, which I do highly recommend waiting if you're willing to not be stubborn like me. You're single and you're within your first year. They recommend you stay single for your first year. I recommend you stay single for your first year. I have decided to play by the opposite rules. It didn't go so well. I got in a relationship with a sober alcoholic. Second time getting in a relationship with a sober alcoholic. First one I met in my dad's, halfway house or whatever that he was in, should have known, but that was the person that got me to ACA. So God bless him, can't be mad, brought me to God, brought me to 12-step. I do believe 100% that if I'm in any 12-step room or on any 12-step call or reading any 12-step book from any program, that I'm with God. I really believe that God put all of this together. I did not believe that when I came in, but I truly believe that now. So second relationship, I was already out of that first relationship by the time I started steps and ACA, thank God. But man, I met like a 20-year sober alcoholic who seemed to be Mr. AA. Everyone loved him. Everyone loves him. I even just did, like 6 months ago, I did a a Bumble date, like one of those video dates or whatever. I was on one of the apps, and the guy just so happened to know my ex, and he went on and on and on for like fucking 5 minutes about how nice he was, and I just start bawling in the date. So like, that's just to say, like, everybody I literally talk to is just like, loves this guy. And I just, my sponsor said to me, she recommended specific things, like, I recommend you let him pick you up for a date. I recommend you wait to see when he calls you. I recommend, you know, all these things that took an enormous amount of patience that I didn't have. Part of my addiction has always been to find my perfect person. I have what I call girl brain or fantasy brain, as I've heard in the slaw rooms. I see a guy, he's cute, he could be anywhere, he literally could be throwing out garbage, he could be picking up his dog's poop, and I could literally, if he's cute enough, and if maybe even we make eye contact, I can think we're supposed to get married. It's just how my brain works. They don't tend to know that's going on, it's all going on in my own head. So, you know, but these are things that have taken me like 5 years to get to in program. You know, I did not know this when I met this wonderful seeming, and he's a wonderful guy. And my, you know, I have to work on my resentment, you know, towards the end of the relationship. But the reality is, I didn't get a spiritual awakening at the end of my 12 steps in ACA. That wasn't where I got it. I don't know why. I just didn't get it from there. When the end of my 12 steps happened in ACA, I started working in Al-Anon. And again, only one meeting a week, because now she wants me to go to two. And I'm like, ooh, you are pushing it. And then she just so happens to throw out that she started Debtors Anonymous. And I'm like, hey, lady, hey, no, we are not going, like, no, I was, and that's how I was. I literally said to her, like, you're lucky I'm in one, and now you want me to go to another, and then you're, like, nope. So, you know, these are just all parts of my story. So I, you'll see more later why that's really funny. So I start going to Al-Anon once a week, and I get to step three, and my sponsor decides that it's just best that she doesn't sponsor me anymore. And I was crushed. I'm not even going to lie. It was one of my hardest days in recovery. Not B, I found out later, but one of. And I remember being guided immediately to who to call and who I wanted my sponsor to be. And I called that person, and I was living downtown in Santa Barbara, and I was walking on the breakwater, and I called that person, and I was bawling. And I remember she said, you know, I want you to pray on it, and I want you to go sit in the rooms, and I want you to see who you really think, you know, you want your sponsor to be. And at that point, I wanted to work Al-Anon steps. So I sat in the rooms, and God just kept saying, that person. So I ended up starting to work those steps, and it was really weird, just kind of, you know, switch that switch. Thank God I found somebody who not only was in Al-Anon, but had done the ACA steps. So, you know, that was really important to me. And honestly, I think the whole thing just put a really bad taste to my mouth for a bit. And also, you know, Al-Anon is so focused on the solution that I was having a hard time, because like I said, I was raised to sit in the problem. And, you know, it's very different in these rooms. You can talk about the problem. You can talk about the people. You can go into all that stuff. And I just needed to sit in a bunch of people that just told me to talk about myself, because I had no idea how. I mean, I had no idea how to keep the focus on myself without being, you know, vain or self-righteous. So let's see. So I started working my Al-Anon steps. I was still with the guy that I had started dating, all in ACA. And I decided to take a break from ACA and just do Al-Anon. And before I say the switch, you know, when I was in ACA, and this is what I love about recovery, is that and I can do this really in any program. I've learned. I thought it was only in here, but I've learned it's in all the programs. where I could just say my crazy and like people are just like, cool. Okay. Did you want somebody to go with you? I remember my abandonment stuff got triggered really hard, really quick in that relationship with the ex, the most recent one. And I remember, I remember I was stalking him and, I was at an Al-Anon meeting, went and stalked him in between at his place, and then was at an ACA meeting after that and went back over. And I told people, you know, I told people in my ACA group at the after meeting what I was doing, and I'm not kidding. Somebody was like, just totally, I'm sure they know who they are, was totally like, do you need somebody to go with you? Like, and I just like, you know, it's, I don't want to be somebody who stalks anybody, but if you're going to, it's really nice to be around people who, you know, can share with you a little bit of like some help around it, but also just not make you feel like total shit. Cause like, this is just part of the disease, you know? And I desperately needed to learn about the disease of alcoholism. And I think that's why God brought me to Al-Anon. Because that is one of the tools of Al-Anon, is to learn about the disease of alcoholism. And funny enough, my higher power wants me in that book in every program I'm in. In ACA, when my sponsor took me through the steps, she did not take me through the fourth step like the ACA book does. That was the only step she did different. She took me through the fourth step AA style, so I learned how to do a true inventory. Which if you haven't learned a fourth step inventory AA style, I highly recommend it. Feel free to reach out to me. It's very easy. And it really gets to the root quick. And then when I did my Al-Anon steps, she said, we're going to be reading out of the big book of AA. And I was like, so not really. I kept trying to not go to that group. And that group just kept on bringing its book to me through God. So, I'm doing my Al-Anon steps and I'm doing my fourth step, and it took me like fucking year. It took me a year to do my fourth step the first time in ACA too. Like, I don't know. Each time I've gone to do one, I'm about to do another one soon. It'll be interesting to see if I have the same blocks, but, for whatever it is, it just took me a while to do them. And, you know, I'll share, too, that the first time I did steps in ACA, I may not have had the spiritual awakening, which to me is, like, really firmly believing in my higher power and connecting with my higher power and feeling like God's there all the time. That's my spiritual awakening. But the first round of steps taught me that in my childhood I learned that I didn't matter. And so that was really helpful for me. It seems that each time I do the steps, I kind of distill a couple things down. And one was that I don't matter. And two was that I really just needed to grieve. And I also really learned in that program, too, that I really didn't know how to have friends. I didn't know how to have friends, and I didn't matter. And so, so then I'm in Al-Anon, and I'm doing those steps, and I'm dating the guy, and things are getting worse and worse, and all of my traits are coming out. First of all, I picked an alcoholic. I picked a workaholic. I'm a people pleaser. I had codependency issues. I was overly responsible. I wanted the person to change. A real big one is this weird thing around potential for me. If I see some potential, I just fucking stick onto that potential and forget reality completely, which is not helpful at all in life. So, I mean, if I want to see my own potential and work on that, that's one thing, but I need to leave everybody in their potential alone is pretty much what I've come to. So I'm doing those steps, and step seven, somewhere around step seven, we break up. And I haven't called my sponsor in a little while. and I call her, and she loves to say that I was, like, lovingly lifted out of that situation by my higher power. I do not feel that way. I think somebody threw a soda at my car, and I was like, fuck this. Like, that's how it felt to me. And, but, you know, that's why we need sponsors. Like, that is why we need sponsors, because I look at the situations and I'm like, what? This is all crap. And my sponsor hears it and she's like, awesome. I'm just like, what do you mean? And like, now I know what she means, because I have sponsees and they call me up with stuff and I'm like, this sounds great. And they're like, what? I don't, can you tell me how you got there? So, you know, it's, that is the beauty of really working closely with someone, is they get to know you. It's a relationship. I like to plug service a lot in any time I share. Having a sponsor is really important. Being a sponsor is really important. Doing service and meetings, whether it be a reading, a share, taking service commitments, which seems to be a huge issue in, you know, recovery rooms. There's nothing better than a service commitment. If you want to gain confidence in yourself and start to get some of the promises on that list, take a service commitment. I highly recommend it. It is an esteemable act that will teach you that you can totally fuck up and everybody is going to be fine. I lost $600 from a treasury in my first Al-Anon meeting I ever took a commitment at. I think it was over $600. I don't even know. I have no idea. Somebody handed me a treasury that wasn't up to date, and I fucking lost it. Like, out of my car, like, gone. So, I don't know, that was, like, maybe 6 months into Al-Anon. That was real fun. But nobody hated me. Nobody shunned me. Nobody told me I couldn't go back. They just were like, they actually sat down and was like, huh, did anybody ever wonder, like, should we have, like, a time limit on how long somebody needs to be in a meeting to take over our treasury, since we're, like, the biggest Al-Anon group and have, like, $600? And so they made a rule. They made a little rule for it. So, like, you know, it was what it was. And I like to share that story because that was the point where I could have walked out and never come back. Easily. I mean, my sponsor leaving me too, that was another point where I could have walked out and never come back. But that wasn't God's plan. And God always put people around me in those situations to really remind me that that's not the focus. The focus isn't what was done wrong. The focus is how we get to move forward today and what we get to learn from it. So I guess back to my, veered off on service because it's just so important. Also, like, without that first service commitment, I wouldn't have still gone to the meetings, and I loved my commitment. If anybody was there in the rooms, like, I love organizing literature. Like, it always looks like my perfectionism comes out in full gear when I'm in my literature position. So it's, you know, I do the fun ones that I find fun. I even do non-fun ones. I sat through an 8-hour Al-Anon assembly meeting. That was real. That's what I'll say, but I didn't do it alone. And that's what I also have learned in these rooms. I don't have to do any of these things alone. So around step 7, I'm doing my steps, and I break up with the guy. Well, I couldn't even break up at that point. I said we were on a break. And I moved in with my mom, and I had half my stuff there and back. And I just, I somehow at that point, that was the turning point for me. I didn't come in a bottom. I came in totally self-righteously, knowing that the right thing to do was to never speak to my dad again. Like, that's how I came into the room. And so I didn't feel at a bottom, but that relationship just, like, totally nosedove me into that. And so I really had to work my program. I mean, that's the best way I could put it. And at this point, I still wasn't doing ACA. I was in Al-Anon, and I was going to, like, 5 meetings a week. And we broke up last November. So, it just passed a year, and I would say it took me a solid 6 6 months of very torturous, very not happy times for myself. And then a fucking pandemic hit. So I had all the time in the world to think about all this stuff. And so I just leaned heavy on my programs. And that ending of that relationship is what brought me back to ACA, because I know that that was like, I have, you know, all the stuff that ACA brings is what happened in that relationship. And I really wanted to sit in the rooms. And also, I'm not gonna lie, it's been very hard to be in the rooms of ACA for me. It wasn't so much in the beginning, but it's different now. Like I never wanted to be a part of a 12-step program until I came and got a literature position and just loved it instantly. And then when I went to Al-Anon, I was kind of like, what am I doing here for 6 months? But then I for sure realized it, even with all the stalking, still had no idea why I needed to be in Al-Anon. But Al-Anon has taught me about my needs and my boundaries, which has been really important. And part of ACA, it's like an extension of my ACA recovery as far as I'm concerned. So I've been hopping back into ACA, and also around that same time, I became a sponsor for the first time. What a magical thing to become somebody's sponsor. It was in Al-Anon, and I just see miracle after miracle after miracle. I see more willingness than I was ever willing to do. My sponsee goes to, I have a few, but my one sponsee goes to meetings. Like, it took me like 4 years and a terrible breakup to go to more than one meeting a week. Like, it was, and she just goes to all these meetings and works this amazing program. And I'm just like so inspired. And I had no idea if I knew what to do to become a sponsor, but I just said yes. And when I don't know what to do, I tell her I don't know what to do. And I tell her I'm going to call my sponsor, and that it really makes it easy. And it's also like, you know, you can only give what you've learned. So I'm really only verbatim going over what I did, which is makes it really easy. But it's such a special thing. And I can see, it's almost like I've gone for a full circle. I really see the full circleness of the program by doing that. Because I knew how special my relationship with my sponsor was. But to have this happen with somebody else and to be able to do that was just beautiful. So I should also go back to that November, December point before the pandemic hit. So I break up with my ex-boyfriend, and then my dad calls. My dad used to stalk me. I wonder where I learned it. He used to stalk me and call my business like 50 times a day because I changed my number finally, because he was calling me from homeless people's phones, anybody's phone, just so it was a different number so I would pick up. He left a message on my business line that he had cancer and he wanted to talk to me. And then my mom was talking to him a little bit, and so she ended up sharing with me a little bit more information, and I just took that straight to my Al-Anon meeting, because that was the next right place to go, and that's where I shared it. I didn't even have time to talk to my sponsor, and she was in that meeting, and she walks right up to me after the meeting and is like, so, where does your dad live? I'm like, he lives in LA, and she's like, great, I will take you and go see him, and we can go do it together. And I was like, first of all, I was not excited. I was really not excited. I was grateful, not excited. I was terrified, was what it really was. And I remember, it was on a Saturday. The meeting was on a Saturday. And so she, just checking my time. So she told me, let's do it Monday. And I'm like, fuck, that's barely 2 days. That's not even 2 days. So I made 15 outreach calls between Saturday at 12 p.m. and Monday at 9 a.m. I've never been on such a rampage before of outreach calls, but it would be like, I call someone, their voicemail comes on. I leave the longest voicemail I can until it hangs up on me. I hang up, I call somebody else. They pick up, we talk for 20 minutes. I hang up, I call somebody else. They pick up, we talk for 20 minutes. I hang up, I call somebody else. Their voicemail comes on. I'd say the same thing to every single person that I talk to just to like get it out, because I didn't want to show up and just like explode. And you know, at that point, I wouldn't have exploded in anger. I would have exploded in fear. But really, another part of my story is I screamed at my dad all the time. By the time I hit ACA, if my dad, if I heard his voice or saw his name or saw somebody's name that I knew was calling me for him, I would yell at them. And I don't mean nicely. I mean, like, I would scream and cuss and tell them to go fuck themselves and that my dad was on drugs and to leave me alone. Or I would tell him that. So I just want to show you, like, the level of PTSD that I had, because it was serious. It was like blood curdling instant insanity. And so we went to go see him, and I barely spoke. That's so unlike me. Just trying to get this into a little short thing is hard, but I couldn't talk really. I didn't know how to relate or how to have a common like relationship with him when he was honestly homeless. And at that point he was living in a halfway house in LA, and you know, like doesn't have teeth. And it's just like, there's just all these things that was really hard for me. But he loves me so much. Like that's one thing. I don't have an angry alcoholic. I have an alcoholic that, loves me endlessly, loves God endlessly. The meshment, like he just, I mean, if I told him, maybe not now, cause he loves where he ended up. But, if any point before he ended up in Key West, I would have told him, come in and move in with me. He would be like down, like, let's do it. Like, let's hang out every day and let's you know, be, cause he loves me so much. And he's told me my whole life that he's on this earth for me. And part of that really was what got us into trouble was I thought I had to be his everything until I got old enough to be like, fuck off. And then I got into recovery. And so, you know, that was around steps nine. I was on step nine when, I went to go see my dad. There's no coincidence. My higher power has a full sense of humor. If yours doesn't, we can chat, because I really like my higher power is doing stuff that cracks me up all the time. The timing, the just everything about it is just so, it's just so interesting. So step nine, going and seeing my dad, didn't know how to say anything. My sponsor, thank God, she's great with talking with people, so she kept the conversation going. We took some pictures. We picked lemons together in the backyard. That was really sweet. I ended up sending him those pictures. And I didn't know how to have boundaries before this program. And so I learned it with ACA too. But what happened was he wanted a relationship now. And I was just like, shit, what do I do? Like, I have no idea what to do. I'm still getting PTSD every time I see him. And by the grace of God, didn't scream at him in front of my sponsor. There was no, I mean, there were things, but it, all in all, it went really, really well. So I decided to start emailing him. And that's how our relationship started in January of this year. And let's see, we've been emailing back and forth, and I was also under hospice therapy because my grandfather had passed away, and she swore everything with my grandfather was just linked to my dad. She offered to do a Zoom call with my dad and I, and the first time we planned it, he didn't show up, and my PTSD came back, and I was, like, super upset, and of course, like, you know, that was in one of his moments mid-COVID where, like, I mean, he was just so erratic. He's always been pretty erratic. And, like, you know, I just didn't know where he was. And basically what he did was he hopped on three planes and ended up in Key West and had no plan on being there and got there and had no home. And like, so this is the type of stuff I hear from my dad all the time. And so you can imagine it's a little triggering, but now I'm just like, hey, fuck, you ended up in Key West. Awesome. You'll love it. Awesome. Like $90 a week for your place to live. Great. Like I will, this is where my spiritual awakening came in. I do not care anymore if my dad is sober. I still showed up again to a second Zoom where he did show up, and it was miraculous. I mean, the relief I felt from being able to show up for myself, to be a good daughter, to receive the love that has always been there, but I wasn't able to receive because I was too angry and I was holding on to stuff. To be able to have that experience with him was truly a miracle. And the reality is, we get off that Zoom and I'm getting like three emails. Can I be your Facebook friend? When can we do another Zoom? Can we do another Zoom on Christmas? Can we do another Zoom here? Can we do? And like, it, like I knew it was going to happen, the floodgates, but I used my program and I used the tools, and I've been going to ACA and Al-Anon regularly for the last year-ish, and I just leaned in. I leaned in and I outreached, and I really, you know, I, for a lot of this, every time I wrote an email for quite a while, I had to run it by someone because I had no idea if what I was saying was rude or not, because I was so used to being how I was. And so, so now, you know, what it's like now has been this. Basically, in the last year, that's what my now is. In the last year, my now has been, I completed my Al-Anon steps. I had a huge spiritual awakening around when that relationship ended and I dove into my steps. That's where my spiritual awakening happened. When I dove into the program and I was willing to go to 3 to 7 meetings a week, you know, I wasn't willing to do that for a long time, but that changed. That is a game changer. So if anybody's like, oh, the program's kind of helping me, I don't know, blah, blah, go to lots of meetings. It says in our ACA book, the meetings are the medicine. The more meetings I went to, the more I started to get that real spiritual connection. I kept on working on my meditation. I kept on working on prayer. Prayer was weird for me for a while too. I really, it was so awkward, but I just kept doing it. I kept doing it because I was just told, God, it doesn't matter how you, what you say. It just matters that you're making that conscious contact. And so I now have this amazing spiritual awakening that I got through Al-Anon and through ACA. Without ACA, I would have never just stepped into Al-Anon and been able to stay. I needed the love of the ACA program to just enter 12 step and to just feel comfortable in 12 step. Like I needed that so bad. There's no doubt in my mind that my higher power has put this in a divine order. And so I have this, like, I really felt at my bottom. I start to really work it. I work my last steps and I'm just, I really had this switch where like, it went from like, most of it's God, I think to like, it's all God. It's all God, really. Has very little to do with me. I'm a piece to the puzzle, and really God's got a plan. And even if it doesn't look like it's what I want it to be, I just need to wait. I just need to wait and see and have some patience and have some faith and have some trust, because it all seems to work itself out. Like if you would have told me, you know, your sponsor was going to leave you an ACA and you're going to end up getting an Al-Anon sponsor, and then that sponsor is going to take you to go see your dad a couple years later, I would have been like, if anybody leaves me an ACA, I'm fucking leaving. Like that was who I was. I wasn't a part of groups. I could barely, like I had my first sponsor said I had a hostage. I would have a friend or a boyfriend usually, and they would be my only person. And she said that was called a hostage. So I really try to not have that anymore. I try to have more than one person I call. And I have no boyfriend, so it's fine there. I have enough recovery. I need to know that I need to do some self-work before I enter into that. So I've started a group on an intimacy book. I literally have just used, and I lost my business in the pandemic, like lost it, like fucking gone. Like I've been doing my job for 15 years and I finally, well, not finally. And then I bought a business and the pandemic is just gone. So my life has been completely exploded. Like even last week, the new salon that I just moved into for a month kicked me out the day before we opened. I could have been crushed, but what did I do? I just turned to my program. God apparently wants me to do something else. I called somebody up. They said, I've been working on the promise about being financially stable and secure. That brought me to BDA, Business Debtors Anonymous, because I'm a business owner. Did not want to join that group. Really didn't want to join that. Way more than I didn't want to join Al-Anon. So now I have a sponsor in that program. And I spent, I'll pretty much end this with, you know, I spent today on a BDA meeting and then a BDA women's group that I'm a part of that did a book club. I read a book in less than a month, which is huge for me. I read multiple books in that month, which is, I can't believe I finished one and read others. And then I had a program call in between. And then I hopped on a 4-hour tools game, which is part of a BDA's support system, which is awesome. And then I had about 2 hours in between that to get ready for this. So my life is literally filled with recovery and it's never been better. It's literally never been better. I don't do it perfectly. I have all sorts of judgments that I see coming up. I have all sorts of resentments that are still there from my first and second, fourth steps. You know, I still see that it's really easy for me to get into my will and my life, and what I want. But the more and more I really use the tools of the program, the more that things that used would devastate me, like losing my business or then having to, like, I got like 2 days notice. I found out I was, had to be evicted and then moved that night. And I called somebody in ACA who literally helped me pack my shit like that afternoon and put it in my car and, well, my mom's car and still sitting in the car because it's been raining, but like all in one night. And when I called somebody in BDA about that one because it felt very money related. And she's like, haven't you been praying for more money? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, then what are you complaining? God used her as a messenger to tell you there's something better. So like, you know, that's not how I would think about it. And when it comes to stuff with my dad, I wouldn't think about it the way other people do who aren't triggered by him, you know? And when it even comes, like, my relationship with my mom is amazing now. And like, there were times where I know I drove her crazy. And I know that it was really hard because I grew up, my dad's really stubborn and I got a lot of that from him. And so now, I mean, all of my relationships have changed. Just like it says, all of my relationships have changed. I went from having like one friend to having like probably 1,000 friends. I don't know. I mean, I'm in 3 programs at this point. So, and I actively work all 3 of them. So, you know, my life is so full, and if it weren't for the love and care and the ability to go and really say, you know, in a meeting, like, there's a fucking problem. There's an elephant in the room and no one in my family is willing to talk about it. Like, and this ACA book is finally like talking about it. And so if it weren't for ACA, none of my recovery miracles would happen. I don't even know, especially with the pandemic, I really don't know where I would be. And you know, now it's like, I have another Zoom scheduled with my dad tomorrow and I don't need a therapist there anymore. And I can have boundaries and I can, you know, I can just do my best. And if I don't know what to say, like, I used to get so scared, like, because I was so used to just being mean that I learned responses like, interesting. Huh, you may be right. I can say no without giving an explanation. This one's my favorite. I say this part in my head, there's a snowball's chance in hell, and then I say, you may be right, if I really don't believe it, but I need to say it. I just, you know, I'm learning more and more about myself all the time, and I just know that God is guiding this whole show. And so, truly, my ACA recovery has not been perfect. I've gone in and out. It's weird sharing because I normally can't even go to a speaker meeting because it triggers me really bad. Just like I can't go to AA meetings because it triggers me really bad. I'm learning more about why I have so many triggers in ACA, but I definitely do. And so, you know, I'm just being gentle with myself and learning that this is just a part of my process. This is how I worked recovery, and this is what works for me. And everybody gets to do their recovery in their own way. So I am very grateful for you guys listening to me. I'm sure I went almost an hour, and I'm sorry for being such a talker. But I just thank you so much for listening and being here with me tonight.